All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the East West Gateway Council of Government Board of Directors meeting. Will now come to order. And we are here taking a roll. And with that, we will start with a motion for approval of the minutes.
I'll move June 22nd.
It's been moved and seconded?
Yeah, can I have a question?
Discussion, yes.
There's one correction to be made in the minutes, and it's regarding the find it here. It was a reference to Congressman Blaine Lutemar, and the spelling was, his word was misspelled.
Oh, his name.
It should be Blaine Lutemar.
Okay, we will make sure.
Find that, correct it.
We'll correct the, we have the correct spelling for the cut.
And I still can't spell it, and he's my congressman.
You were a teacher.
And I know it well.
Yes. Here's Tonda. I don't remember, I was on the last page back here. But anyway, if you look at the minutes, it's misspelled.
Yeah, here, this says Dwayne.
Dwayne, that's it.
Right here on the last page.
Okay.
It should be Dwayne. All right.
There you go.
We'll correct that. Without objection, it's misspelled. And
take the motion to accept.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
That motion carried unanimously. Now we will go on to our discussion item. Discussion item, there's only one, 3A, St. Louis Area Regional Response System.
We have only one on purpose because it's a four-part series, really. Last month, the board had asked that we put together a presentation on Heartland's Homeland Security monies. At the end of every session, you all vote for hundreds of thousands of dollars for security and things like that. And to better inform you on where is that money going for, what are you really investing in? And we've got not only law enforcement, hospitals, emergency responders, and I could, John Miller, Mayor, I wish at this point you would explain what it's all about.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the council. As the president of the Board of Directors of STARS this year, it's our privilege to come and present a overview of what the St. Louis Area Regional Response System, better known as STAR, really does. And it's a group of volunteers that come together and try and eliminate the wow factor, wow meaning a major problem in the St. Louis area, whether it be terrorism, natural disaster, but it's a way of trying to prepare our region to cope with something like that. As the arm of Homeland Security, we handle the funds and purchase the equipment and spread it out through the 8 county area in our region. And any of those resources, as you'll find out through the presentation, are available for any community, any area in the region. So without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to the Assistant Director of STARS, Mr. John Whitaker, who is a Public Safety Administrator. And I would also like to recognize the members of the board that are here for the presentation as well, sitting over here in this corner. So I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Whitaker for the overview for STARS.
Good morning. I am standing in for Nick Renown this morning, and I'd like to just give a brief summary of what STARS is about and how to go about purchasing equipment, and then I'm going to turn it over to my key stakeholder behind me there. Now, the grant funds that we work under are designed to allow us to prepare for major incidents such as terrorist events, and large incidents like Katrina and 9/11 and Boston Marathon bombing that have occurred throughout the country. Now, we have not had a very large incident here in Missouri or in St. Louis, thankfully. We do have, however, severe weather and flooding incidents. These grant funds can help us prepare for those as well. We operate primarily under two grants, the Urban Area Security Initiative and the Hospital Preparedness Program grant. We also get some funding directly from hospital donations. The Homeland Security, Urban Area Security Initiative grant is focused on terrorism, but it's also directed towards an all-hazards approach to preparedness. Hospital Preparedness Program is designed to bring the healthcare providers together, be prepared and work better together as a region. And there are some requirements for how we spend the funding for the grants. They must support a regional incident response, meaning the urban area working together, all the counties working together to address major responses. These purchases must also fit into the our threat hazard identification and risk assessment, which is a FEMA required document that we prepare every year that guides us towards gaps that we need to address. The St. Louis Regional Homeland Security Strategy follows from the risk assessment, and each of the purposes that are recommended and approved by you come up through STAR subcommittees, approved by the Finance Committee, and then approved by the STAR Board of Directors as well. STAR Board of Directors is made up of four officers and representatives from various subcommittees. Mayor John Miller is our president currently. Dave Crook is our vice president. Gary Crispin is the treasurer, and Joanne Leighton is the secretary. Now, every year, these positions roll up one, and we get a new secretary. This is our committee structure, and these boxes you see along the top little bar there are the Homeland Security capabilities under which these focus areas fall under. We're going to focus today on the sea burning response, which is chemical, biological, nuclear, and explosive response elements coming from fire and law enforcement, and the medical surgery mass prophylaxis area, which includes public health, EMS, and hospital preparedness. And there's an ESFA coordination group that brings all those pieces together in health. So I'm going to turn the presentation over to our stakeholders, starting with our fire mutual aid representatives, Chief Brett Saunders from O'Fallon, Illinois, and Chief Greg Brown from Eureka. Then we will hear from law enforcement and health care after that. Greg?
Good morning. As Jack said, my name is Greg Brown. I'm fire chief in Eureka. I'm also the mutual aid coordinator for the Fire Service Mutual Aid, which is MOSCO, Missouri.
Brent Saunders, City of O'Fallon, Illinois, and I am the president of Maintenance Division 32, which is our mutual aid system on the other side of the river that takes in St. Clair and Monroe County, St. Louis City, and additional counties and departments in St. Clair area.
One of the things that's happened through STARS is the relationship between the two mutual aid systems and our mutual aid partners across the river have become solidified. We work together, we train together, we plan together so we can respond again. In Missouri, the mutual aid plan is called MOSCO. MOSCO stands for Missouri Systems Concept and Operation Plan for Emergency. It's a multidiscipline playbook that's been put together and is authorized by state statute that any governmental entity is in the program unless you opt out. We have a mutual aid system that's based on a tiered approach, starting with the locals, then we go to areas, regional, and then we go to the state for additional resources as we go forward. As you can see there, the Fire Service Mutual Aid Plan has been in place since the 1990s, and our partners in law enforcement have come on board, EMS is on board, K-9 Mutual Aid Plan is part of it, and currently the Coroner's Plan is under development.
Illinois operates a little bit different. In Illinois, you're through what we call MAVIS, which is Mutual Aid Box Alarm System. It's a statewide system with over 75% of fire service participation across the state. There's 69 divisions. As I mentioned, our division takes in St. Clair County, Monroe County, and then our neighbors across the river here in Missouri. MAVIS also includes Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, Wisconsin, and the agencies that I've already indicated. Division 35 is Madison County. We work closely with them. They've got about 50% of their departments on board. With MAVIS, we're also issued equipment statewide through the Illinois Terrorism Task Force for immediate response that is available to the entire region out of our division, out of Division 35.
Okay. Through the SARS, the response print planning, we've addressed and you've approved the purchases for many hazardous materials items, urban search and rescue items, EMS task force, and our incidents 14, which is a managed. And what we've done is we've created a flexible response network. So if one area is affected by a particular event, that the firefighters, paramedics that are doing the job of being firefighters and paramedic in the affected area, they don't also have to worry about being in the hazmat boats. That we can bring this system in to bring the forces there. So we have a coordinated response that way.
Included are 7 hazmat regional response teams, and they're listed on the board. I won't go through all of those, but those teams work together, have a lot of the light equipment that's been provided, so that when they're on an incident, whatever the jurisdiction is, they know what type of equipment they're going to be using, whether it's theirs or some other departments. Along with that, the training and things that go together better prepare them for any response. Some of the most recent, I think we talked about in the last meeting, was things like the World Series. Our hazardous material team and other teams from Missouri get together with St. Louis City and provide that regional hazmat response so that everybody's working together. A lot of those pre-planned events are what sets the stage in case something will happen, because those firefighters, paramedics, hazmat technicians are working together on pre-planned events where it's not an emergency. They can take their time to get everything lined out. So in the event that something would happen, they're already prepared. They know who each other, who their other partners are, who they're going to be working with, and it gives them the ability to mesh much better once they're on an emergency scene.
The St. Louis Metro Urban Search and Rescue Group was built from the ground up by SARS. We have 5 teams that are spread out throughout our region that are basically similar to the FEMA USAR teams, in that we have their last on, first off catch. It's pretty well self-sufficient for about 72 hours, and that's when we expect to be able to augment them with additional personnel. But everybody in the region is trained the same. They've been through the same classes. You can go to a heavy mover that's in St. Clair County, and you might be from Jefferson County, and you can go to the first compartment, door number 5, and it's the same thing in all those trucks. So the teams not only are set up the same, governed the same, they also train together. So in the event of emergency, again, it's just interchangeable. And again, those 5 teams are spread throughout the region. There's one in St. Clair County, St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, and then Jefferson and Franklin County have a joint strike team that works together to respond. And this would go for, as you can see, swift water, it can go for building collapse, incidents of mass destruction, whatever you need. If you watch any of the big events that happen on the news, that's who the federal government sends in, is their USAR teams. We have that capability here within our region. This kind of shows that we have a flexible response network for all these disciplines that feed into the incident support team, which is a management arm that's, again, multi-jurisdictional, multi-discipline, people that are trained together in the federal national incident management system that are used to come in, and they augment the local incident commander and provide them the resources they need in order to handle whatever incident that we could be faced with.
In addition, Ned's on the support team for Regency and Davis, we meet on a regular basis to bring everybody to the table, to make sure that we're all still on the same page, anything that's been new, added, or changed, and we stay up to date with that, the training capabilities and the response capabilities of all these agencies that come into play.
All right, thank you. We'd like to introduce our law enforcement partners.
I'm Sergeant Bill Roach. I'm with St. Louis County. I'm the Deputy Director of the St. Louis Fusion Center. Just previous to that, I was the Bomb Squad Commander for St. Louis County.
I'm Captain Dave Todd. I'm with the St. Charles County Sheriff's Department. I am the Special Operations Commander, and I am a local law enforcement co-chair with Colonel John Bellman of the St. Louis County Police Department.
Okay. Through our subcommittee and STARS in law enforcement, we have four primary focal points. They are Bomb Squads, Tactical Teams, Metro Air Support, and the Fusion Center, Terry's in Early Warning. And our presentation today is going to focus primarily on the first three.
As much as we hate to admit it, Chief Brown standing here, we've learned a lot from the fire service and her mates. He won't be yet. We've worked on buying from their system. We've learned from our mistakes in the past, so we've wanted to become more economical, and we cooperate a lot more than we ever did in separate kingdoms. We buy light equipment. St. Louis City, St. Charles County, and St. Louis County bought matched equipment trucks, as if the fire service should St. Louis have another issue like the ABD or AV shooting. We can pull the trucks up and we can draw equipment off each other's trucks. Recently, St. Louis City's robot catapult was down. They called us. We sent ours over. They took it right into service, and we trained together, and we buy the same equipment so we can get right back to work. And Homeland Security likes cooperation.
Our assets that have been purchased through the STARS money with the federal grants, most of the equipment is very expensive, and it's more than most budgets are able to accept in police departments. We're very fortunate that we do have these massive grants. When we talk about our assets, they're categorized as deployable or shareable. Deployable means we can take like this bomb truck, for instance, or this bomb robot, and send it to Franklin County, St. Charles County, Madison, Monroe County, because it's a physical asset that can go. Shareable assets are ones that can't, which we'll hit with our airspeed. But this asset is also shareable, the knowledge and the detectives and technicians that operate. St. Louis is served by, it used to be three bomb squads, it's two bomb squads, St. Charles County, and St. Louis City and St. Louis County merged to form a metro bomb squad. It's the same size, but it's they're all housed together and work together. And as the captain spoke about, that we did take a lot of cues from the fire department on standardizing and working together with our equipment, the training, and the operational procedures. So if we get a call, now Illinois, the bomb squad that will respond to these three counties we serve is the Secretary of State's bomb squad. They come from Springfield, Illinois. So that's a little bit of a drive. We have agreements with the Secretary of State bomb squad that if they call us and ask us to do an initial response, we can go over there into Illinois and function right there. We're not acting in capacity as law enforcement. We're going in bomb squad, bomb technicians. And because we use the same procedures and we use the same equipment, they know when we are there, we're doing things just how they want it done. When they arrive on scene, everything's handled correctly. The improvised explosive devices that are around now, all the bomb technicians are trained the same. We go to school in Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville, Alabama. We're trained by the FBI and the Army on how to deal with this. And what's worked out very well is that all the bomb squads, St. Charles County and the Metro Bomb Squad, we can step into each other's trucks, each other's bomb suits, each other's robots, and deal with devices and know that we're all working exactly the same. So we don't have to worry about being siloed with our equipment and technology. Our standards, yes, we're all met with the National Association of Bomb Squad Commanders and the Hazardous Devices School with the full-time bomb technicians that are certified. Every 3 years, the bomb technicians have to go back to school to be recertified. So everyone that responds to these are all top-notch and set the same with their standardization. We also want to continue building capabilities that have been in place. And when we say that, we want to make sure that the bomb squads that respond here to our community always have the most improved technology to exploit any type of improvised explosive device that's found, and always render safe procedures once they deal with the device that's found. We want to make sure that all these technicians are up to date and have the best equipment available.
Detective Mike Waller from the St. Louis City Bomb Squad, he's kind of the lead guy for training, and he sets up the training to make sure that all the bomb squad personnel attend the training. He coordinates it so everybody stays current and everybody's on the same page. Metro Air Support. You see this quite a lot. Sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't. The kids call them the Shamus, is what they name them. We have multiple aircraft that have been purchased by the Homeland Security, Moncton Port Security. Air crews consist of St. Louis City, St. Louis County, and St. Charles County. The area known as Howes out of Chesterfield Airport. They fly every day of the week at Sunday, and Sunday they're on standby. The crews are mixed, so when you get up in the air, we had a trip last night, St. Louis City pilots, St. Louis County TFO. It doesn't matter, they fly, they're up there, they're available. We have a lot of high-end equipment on these vehicles. Again, this stuff has been purchased through Homeland Security, the FLIRs, and Bill explained that.
This is, and if you know what I'm talking about, call this a shared blast. And the reason we do that is this obviously is available for our Uassi region. But if Joplin, Missouri were to ask to have our helicopters come out there and work, we run into some issues with fuel, mechanics, and we want to make sure that our ships are flying safely. So it's not exactly like we could send a tactical team or bomb truck to Joplin. So that's why it's called Sheridan. These helicopters on the left, you see that black ball, that's clear forward-looking infrared. It is a piece of equipment that was purchased with our grant. And on the right, you see an image. That's what the pilots see inside the ship when they're flying at night. So when you do see the helicopter, or you hear the helicopter at night, and you don't see a spotlight, which we have, there's a searchlight, and you don't see the searchlight. They're not just flying. They're deploying the FLIR system. That's what they're using. And if you do see a searchlight, sometimes that's used as a distraction method, I guess you would call it.
That would work.
Where someone on the ground sees the searchlight.
We call them rabbits.
They'll see the searchlight in an area where they're not, thinking the helicopter is looking in the wrong area. Meanwhile, they're looking directly down with a FLIR system and radioing the officers on the ground. Here's where you need to go.
And none of you can share with us.
Can't share that with anyone else.
So yeah, when you see the helicopter in flight, you start to back out, you're snickering with the neighbors. They pretty much got on the ground and they'll be directly ground you attend. One of the new projects with them was funded through STARS, all that good. It's just coming on board. I'm going to be careful, I don't want to steal Gary's thunder. It's a video download. So such as we recently had the fair and the big event, we can now send video down to your command post from the helicopter. Before, it's very costly for us to land, put somebody in, take them out to get a view. We can now shoot video, stream video back down to your command post and to vehicles that are connected to this. That's a very cost-effective thing for us, and I'll let Bill go on to this one here.
And also, the air computers that work with, in conjunction with the FLIR unit. Imagine at night you're flying the helicopter, but you're being called to an area you're not from or familiar with. So if I were a pilot, I'd go from North County. And if I were called to Franklin County and fly this helicopter to assist officers, I need to have basically a GPS or a navigation system in there. We were able to put an up-to-date navigation system in to tell the helicopter exactly where to go, and we'll show the view. The view on the right side is, you can see the top circle, it's actually the helicopter. So it can orient the pilot inside the ship to say, here's where you are in relation to the coordinates you just punched in and the address you're going. And on the left, that's the FLIR vision exactly from the infrared system to show them where they're at now. So imagine being in that ship 4 or 5 years ago before this was available.
They had a macro. The TFO sat there and flipped with a macro with a flashlight. Literally.
This shows one of the ships that has the microwave downlink loaded into it. On the left are the antennas that have the capability to send it down, and on the right, that was the first version, I guess, of the Pelican case that can be dropped with someone in an area, if officers are searching, The pilots can give this to the people on the ground, say, here, stay here, Trakar, we're going to go up. You'll be able to see exactly what we're seeing in the Pelican, which is a fantastic endeavor.
The tactical team are a little different than the fire service and the bomb squad. We buy light equipment for the region, but we don't necessarily train together because we can't cross the bridge without special circumstances. But on this side of the bridge, St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, we train together. As mentioned earlier, we buy light equipment. We do regular exercises. We were down here not too long ago, all of us in partnership, training over at the Santa Center. But we do cover each other. The St. Louis team, they have all the major events, which we're good with. We will cover for any other calls that come out while St. Louis City and or St. Louis County handles the major event. Again, we work on this all the time. We've come a long way. And thank you for the Stars and East West Gateway. We've received the funding to stay on the cutting edge of crime fighting.
And that falls under the building capabilities, is that we want to improve the technology for day missions and nighttime missions, especially that any of our tactical teams are called out to and trained for. And we want to advance the technology and purchase items to work within the chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, or explosive environments that they can put into. You know, aside from having to respond to some of the heinous scenes that you witnessed on the news throughout our country, they're also going to have to respond into environments that could cause them great disservice with being in a chemical or biological environment. And we want to sustain the training and the equipment maintained where it's at now. We don't want to fall off from the capabilities we require.
Effective September 1st, one of the things we learned from the Joplin, everybody hits on Joplin, is the deployability support. Effective September 1st, because of STAR, who purchased a truck for St. Charles County, we can deploy a 15-person SWAT team, emergency management support, and medical support to anywhere in the state at the request of SEMA for up to 10 days unsupported. They call, we go, we represent the region. While we're gone, either St. Louis City or St. Louis County would cover us because we've all done the same thing. Our radios are programmed together. So SEMA's been pretty excited about this capability to come along. Our county has got, oh, you guys are beyond. They're not working. Because our fellow partners would cover anything while we're gone.
And if you're wondering why would we send a tactical team to an environment like that, and you know, just picture being there yourself and being a police officer and your family or your community just sustained this horrible damage from a tornado. Well, first you have yourself to worry about, and then you have your community. So other police departments do come in to assist, assume the policing responsibilities. But aside from every normal person thinking of going there to help, there's also going to be groups that go there with the intent to loot or cause with nefarious intentions. And
that was important to you.
So we can bring a tactical team, and we wouldn't be the only one, but we bring a tactical team to assist that community and make sure that these other groups with those intentions don't succeed. All right, and we will finish ours and pass on to the public.
Good morning. I'm Barb Whitaker. I'm the St. Clair County Public Health Emergency Response Manager and also the co-chair for STARS.
John Anthony, St. Louis County Department of Health, also co-chair for STARS.
Together, our public health committee has approximately 15 to 20 members. We do have 9 health departments that set in the 8 counties, and all of them are active members. When we're talking about public health response, for us, local emergency management, state requests, and public health requests are our basis of requesting the equipment that we receive from STARS. One example is collaboration through the Emergency Management Agency and the USAR teams in 2010 when we had an H1N1 clinic in St. Clair County. Our health department didn't have room for people. We wanted people to stay for at least 15 minutes after their immunization. We didn't have the room. So we called on our local EMA, who requested these Western shelter tents through our USAR teams. And that came over, set them up, took them down, it was a perfect collaboration between public health, EMA, and your USAR teams. Another collaboration going public health to public health is we have purchased with some of our equipment these vaccine refrigerators. This can last several days on batteries if we're out of electricity. It acts as a freezer or a refrigerator. Some of our vaccines need to be frozen. And now, you know, everybody has heard that we've had some problems with our DTP, which is the whooping cough, the pertussis. And now we went off-site and had a large clinic and was able to call another neighboring health department to borrow theirs so that we had another new refrigerator. So our, whenever we purchase something through the public health committee, every health department in our region has the ability to receive the same equipment. We too try to standardize so that we can borrow and exchange equipment.
We do have a lot of equipment that we purchased through STARS. We appreciate your help on that over the years. We don't have any helicopters or anything cool like that, but
they have participated in our exercises.
Regionally, we're very strong. In fact, we have the largest network of closed pods, points of dispensing, in the country. We partner with, in St. Louis County anyways, we partner with pretty much every large corporation. We partner with every hospital. We partner with every university. And in some of these places, we put stuff forward, syringes, signage, things for them to respond and pass out meds if it comes to pass. If there's an anthrax attack and we have to collect a million people or 2 million people, we have a strong regional commitment to do that. Equipment purchased over the years, there's just some examples there. Communication is a big thing, satellite phones, 800 megahertz radios. Essence is a system that can pick up diseases by tracking the types of diseases that go through all the ERs, whether it's influenza or the latest chikungunya, we'll find that. And where we're going now is we're going to continue trying to grow the closed pods in the region, the open pods that we do with the high schools, work on our getting volunteers for our medical reserve corps, working on the electronic dispensing method, and continuing training. I think that's the last one. Any questions?
No questions.
Sorry.
I'm Debbie Beasley with Heartland Preparedness Center at St. Louis University. I serve on the STARS board and a member of the Hospital Preparedness Committee and chair of the ESFA Committee.
I'm Gary Kirschman. I'm the commissioner of the St. Louis City Emergency Management Agency, also on the board, chair of one of the committees, and chair member, and I've been with STARS since the creation.
And I'm going to embarrass him right now because I have to tell you, as we developed our whole healthcare environment in this community, relative to emergency response, the emergency operations centers, primarily in the city and the county, were extremely beneficial in helping to glean information, coordination. They were our coaches, our mentors. They stood right beside us as we did exercises and drills. We couldn't have survived without that team.
Without the hospitals, we have nowhere to take our patients.
I happen to chair that committee, which has evolved very wonderfully over time. It includes hospitals, public health, emergency medical services, and the EMA. We also just recently added Coroner and Central County 911. It is an informational and coordination body that we sit down together, we share, we communicate. Anything that I talk about today would not be happening if it wasn't for you all allowing the funding to occur for us. SMOC. SMOC is the St. Louis Medical Operations Center. I happen to be one of the seven duty officers for the And essentially what happens is it's a regional coordination entity supported and staffed by healthcare organizations. Public health is kind of our lead entity in our emergency support function effort, the ESF functions, or ESF-8. And we help to coordinate all the situations of hospitals. So if there's an event in our region, seven of us duty officers pull together immediately, and we start to coordinate the efforts for all the hospitals. What happens is when a hospital needs assistance that goes beyond their walls, they can't handle the situation any longer, is escalated up to the SMOC, and we become either activated virtually or on-site at either the city or the county DOCs. It's supported entirely by volunteers from the medical community. I happen to be one of the volunteers, and there's seven other of us, and then we have other team members that participate. There's seven of us that help coordinate and work together with entities such as EMS and EMA. We are allowed into the emergency operations centers now, which has been tremendous, and it gives us excellent coordination in their bodies. Here's some of the things that you have helped us create. Our STAR response plans for healthcare, the regional healthcare coordination plan, and our standard operating guide for the SMOC. What we do after we develop each one of these plans is we then exercise the drill to make sure that we can actively function and participate in an event in our region. Interestingly enough, we were out at the county EOC 2 days before the Richland tornado and 1 month before the Joplin tornado, exercising the SMOC, was an integral part of both of those efforts. The hospital evacuation and transportation plan is just now becoming real. We've got the plan developed, and we will be working toward activation of exercises and drills very shortly. This is the infrastructure, and it's the total support for our region relative to planning. You all helped fund all of this. The regional healthcare coordination plan, how it's tied to all the facilities, everything from EMS to public health, to mass fatality, to shelter care, the SMOC, all of those entities have been funded by STARS. I'm gonna turn it over to Gary now.
With the ESF-8 and the St. Louis Medical Operations Center, one of the capabilities that we had to make sure was that we're coordinated with the field and we're coordinated with emergency management. So through Central County, we have an agreement that when a catastrophic event or event that escalates the field that may draw resources from the hospitals or impact the hospitals, that notification comes through Central 911 out to our duty officers, who then bring together subject matter experts to look and address that event to see if it needs to be a full activation or partial activation, or how it's going to impact the local hospitals. So what we're looking at from the ESF is not just with inside the hospital. We're also looking at coordinating with the field activities to make sure that we know what's taking place. If there's a mass casualty event or a mass fatality event, that SMOC is activated to be able to help coordinate and support that activity in the field as well as in the hospitals. So some of that equipment that we purchased through STARS, through UASC, and also through the HRSA grant, was to build platforms to be able to coordinate through eSponder, through the EM system, and to make sure that we're sharing that information regionally and also with the state to make sure that they understand what the global picture is here in the St. Louis area or with inside that hospital that's affected. Along with that is an important piece is we have to be able to communicate. We have to be able to communicate back and forth between the hospitals, but also with the emergency operations centers and also with the field operations. So by adding those subject matter experts to the committee, along with the emergency medical system, we can now liaison with them in the field to find out exactly what they need. In the past, we've been very good at moving patients from the field to the hospitals, but it's based off what the capabilities of those emergency rooms are. Now we're going deeper into the hospitals to realize it's not just the emergency rooms, but do they have the surgical suites to be able to support them? Are they a burn unit? Are they a pediatric unit? Can they handle stroke? Can they handle thoracic trauma? Those type of things are very important, so we're not moving patients to the hospital and then return moving them again to another hospital. So we purchased radios both inside the hospital for the duty officers and also satellite phones, because we know worst case scenario, if everything goes down, we either have amateur radio or satellite phones. And then also we know that if that event happens within the hospital, and we've actually experienced this here in the St. Louis area, is how do we respond to that hospital? So we have strategically located equipment around the St. Louis region with inside the hospitals to be able to either evacuate from the hospital or to move patients into the hospital. Some of the equipment that we have are med sleds that help move patients down stairwells instead of people actually having to try to pick up one of those hospital beds or pick up a patient that has numerous tubes and everything else attached to them to be able to move them down the steps. Or one of the things that we found is that the best thing is not to evacuate. If we can keep them in place, cool location if that's what the need is, or light up location if that's the need. We've also purchased spot coolers and Pelican light cases to be able to keep patients in-house and not have to move them and add more trauma to them on top of whatever illness or injury they're dealing with.
We have used all of that in the region and exercising heroes, every single one of them.
Along with that, as I talked about, we have to be able to be mobile. As fires talked about, as police talked about, as public health talked about, we have assets that are able to move around the region as needed. So we put together these different type of caches and put them in trailers to be able to move them to either the field or to the hospital that needs to either surge up or surge out. What I mean by surge out is there's designated locations from the hospitals that they can set up a temporary hospital or emergency room within inside of a community center, within inside of a tent, or within inside of another structure to be an alternative care site. And these pieces of equipment are able to move to that location to facilitate either the pediatrics, burns, mass casualties, or that can be brought to the hospital that's impacted to be able to support their operations as well. So we built it not to be stagnant or in one location, but built it to be mobile to be able to help the region, along with helping internally with inside of the hospital structures themselves. As I mentioned, I was in my current position when the U.S. grant came to the St. Louis region. And without the support of this board and the leadership that you guys have given us and supported us, we would not have what we have today. We are light years ahead of where we were back in 2003, coming out of 2001, 9/11. We noticed our gaps. We know that we still have gaps. We also know that we have a very dedicated staff. If I speak for the region, I speak for the committee members, and I speak for STARS when I say thank you for your leadership and your support, your continued support for us to be able to do what we have to do to protect our citizens and our guests in St. Louis and the surrounding area. Thank you.
All right, I want to thank all of our presenters for doing a great job with a lot of information and keeping it concise and easy to see and understand. I know a question came up last meeting, which is why we had the presentation, so everyone around this table could know and certainly have access to the resources. There's also a website as well for STARS. So you know what's actually happening many times behind the scenes. You know, it's not something that's necessarily visible, but with this relationship with East-West Gateway, STARS, and with the UASI grants and some other efforts, this region is way better, tremendously better prepared, and has better capabilities today than just a dozen years ago, 10, 12 years ago, to address any major incidents or disasters in the entire region. And what we act as is the fiscal agent. And what STARS does is they have a lot of professionals, first responders, healthcare professionals, and others who are working together throughout the entire region, collaborating, cooperating, determining the resources that are needed, the equipment, so there's better equipment, there's better training, there's better cooperation, collaboration, communication throughout the entire region, and resources that we approve here are resources that are available to any place in the region in case there's a an incident. So I remember back when 9/11 hit, and there was the big issue: are we prepared? Are you prepared there? What are we doing to get better prepared? We're thankful to Department of Homeland Security and to the fact that now we do have massive grants, and the hard work, dedication, collaboration, professionalism of those that you hear from and so many others throughout the region. We really do have a great system in place here in the city, and I think we have a great partnership and structure in place, as you had it described to you, to work together and to make sure that we use these very valuable dollars in the most effective, efficient way for the betterment of all the people that we represent in the entire St. Louis region. Is it perfect? No, but I have to tell you, the more you know about it, the more perfect it looks. So I certainly want to thank you all for all your efforts, and it really does. I think this is what's important to do, because it really gives us all a sense of assurance and a level of confidence that, hey, if something happens, we're ready. We're ready to respond and do what we need to do to save lives and make sure people are protected. So thank you for all you do.
I would just like to add one thing. This, the people that you saw here today are just the tip of the iceberg of the number of people who work every day out in the trenches and work for the communities that they serve. They set their own personal lives aside for the region, and they do it because they love the people that they're working for. I can't say enough about them. They are very talented people. They care about what they do, and they are very happy that the East-West Gateway Council of Government supports them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Very good. Well, if there's no questions or any comments, further comments, we will move on to our action items. Action item 4A, modification of the FY 2014-2017
transportation
improvement program.
Mr. Chairman, I think you have the most action items, but we'll try to go through them as quickly as possible. We tried to go through the whole alphabet for you, so we didn't quite make it. But the first one is sent as modification from IDOT. They're requesting to modify two projects. Jason, if you would briefly.
Yeah, I have a question to modify two projects in the current 1417 TISD. One's on Route 203, the other's on I-55. And these projects are being advanced at fiscal year 14. We recently signed $1 billion capital program that does the new stuff and staff recommendations.
All right, do we have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimously approved. Item 4B.
4B, MoDOT is asking to add one new project. Again, Jason, if you would.
The project MoDOT's requesting to add is a project to paint repair at bridge on I-44. Cost about $868,000. This bridge increases damage in a crash. There's some good track copper in it. And staff is recommending approval.
Any motion? We have a motion to approve.
Motion.
Approved. Any second? Been seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Item 4B unanimously approved. We're on item 4C.
4C, final air quality must come before we are able to approve the PIPs. Okay, so.
Yeah, the St. Louis region, we're not a standard for ozone and small particulate matter, and as such, we're required to perform a conformity determination on all the projects that are included in the Transportation Improvement Program, or TIP, as well as a long-range plan. And based on this conformity analysis that we conducted as part of the TIP development, the projects and programs that are included in the 2015 to 2018 Transportation Improvement Program, RTP 2040, they're found to be in conformity. And at this time, staff recommends approval of the long-term determination.
Okay, do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved in second, any discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none. Item 4C is unanimously approved. We'll move on to item 4D.
And the important one that comes every July, the Transportation Improvement Program, or TIP. We are ready to, you have had it for, I think you've had a draft copy for the last 2 months, and we are ready to move on it and approve it if the board sees fit.
Sure. Just a quick synopsis. The Transportation Improvement Program is updated each year, and this includes a schedule of all federally funded projects over the next 4 years. Projects must be included in the TIP to meet how to access federal funds. Within the TIP documentary tables and the appendix B, there's a list of all the projects that are included for the next 4 years. The appendix B includes descriptions of projects and costs, federal funds that are included in the outlook. Also, the TIP is required to be fiscally constrained, meaning the funds must be available to build those projects. Since we last met in May about the TIP, we released a draft TIP for public comment. The comment period for the TIP was from May 29th through July 3rd. We presented the TIP at 7 open house meetings throughout the region, and this is during the month of June. And Gateway staff was available, as well as staff from ODOT, IDOT, transit agencies, local public agencies that have projects in the TIP. A total of 96 people signed in at these open houses, and we received 9 comments on the TIP. There are a few minor changes between the draft TIP that was presented to you in May and went out for public comment in June. The overall number of projects in the final TIP is 688. This represents a net increase of about 32 projects and around $46 million. This represents 33 projects that were added and 1 project that was actually deleted. The projects that are being added to the TIP include 29 projects that are, or 33 projects that were included in the previous TIP, the 14-7 TIP. And 29 of the local projects that you approved last month for the 110 extension, and the other 4 are local transit projects that were just submitted from the inadvertently submitted in the draft document. And at this time, staff is recommending approval of the TIP.
Motion for approval?
So moved.
Moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 4D, unanimously approved. We'll move on to item 4D.
4E, hopefully the memo explained what we need to amend. It's a small amendment, but moving ahead for progress, or MAP 21, implemented several changes this time, as most of you are aware. It included consolidating several procedures. One of those was the enhanced mobility of seniors and individuals with disabilities, commonly referred to as Section 5310 in your memo. We need to, what happens is the governors of both states designate the agencies that are to receive the funds, and we are one of 4, and that's the way you have to do it backwards, really. You have to say, yes, we're willing to be one of the agencies designated by the governor, and that's basically what this amendment says. There are 3 others. One is Metro, and the other 2 are IDOT and MoDOT that would be working with Section 5310. So the recommendation is we simply need to amend.
Okay. We have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 4E, unanimously approved. We're now on item 4F.
4F, we'll call John Posey. Since the census, after they take the numbers, they draw the lines and tell us where we are. And John, if you would explain a little discrepancy this time,
sure.
That census, the feds say, yes, we do.
Sure. So the U.S. Census Bureau has adjusted the Alton urbanized area so that it now includes 3 census blocks in Jersey County. Under federal law, every portion of an urbanized area must be served by a metropolitan planning organization, and so that's why we're coming to you for board action on expanding the metropolitan planning area boundaries. Now, in addition to the small area of about 33 acres that was added by the Census Bureau, Federal Highways, in consultation with IDOT, has added another little bit of land to make it about a third of an acre, about 150 homes in total. That's just for the purposes of Federal Highways. For us, it doesn't really have a practical implication because there are no roads in that added area that are eligible for federal funding anyway. And so to comply with our obligation to serve the entire urban area, staff recommends that we expand the metropolitan planning area served by this agency to include the census-designated urban area as adjusted by federal highways.
Okay. Do we have a motion for approval?
So moved.
A motion? Any second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Item 4F, unanimously approved. We now move on to item 4G.
We need to approve another amendment, and that's the amendment to the Unified Planning Work Program to add the comprehensive complete streets plans in Metro East. Both Madison and St. Clair counties, they qualify for funds, and we need to add that to it. As a matter of fact, if you look at your memo, I believe that they're going to receive roughly $80,000, 20 of which the local communities that are participating will pay for. But it's picking up another $60,000 from Metro East and two counties. So our recommendation is to approve that.
And motion for approval?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 4G is unanimously approved. We now move on to item 4H.
The booklet I hold in my hand each year, we have the audit of the agency, and most of you that deal with audits at all, when you get it right off the bat, instead of reading it from front to back, you turn to the back to see what recommendations, where we are, and things like that. I'm happy to tell you that the same auditors that audited the agency last time also performed the audit this time, and there were absolutely no material weaknesses or deficiencies or material weaknesses from financial statements. And we like to see them. But at the same time, we've always said, and talking with the auditors, we want a clean audit. A clean audit is not just a blank audit. If there's something that we need to do, we want to know it. At this time, we have no recommendations for improving the thing. And Royce and her staff are to be commended, in my judgment, for the good work that they do.
Let's give them a round of applause. All right, so we have the auditor's report on financial statements for fiscal calendar year 2013. Do we have a motion for approval? There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Item 4H, unanimously approved. We'll move on to item 4I.
And we bring John back on recommending to enter into a contract again.
For the last several years, we've used a computer modeling system in its mean. It creates projections of future land use that we use in some of our planning. It's used to support our travel demand model as well as our air quality conformity. This year, we're once again requesting $30,000 to continue our relationship with the Lean Group. Staff recommends approval.
So moved.
A motion for approval. Is there a second? Seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Item 4I, unanimously approved. Item 4J.
And last but not least is a recommendation to you. John will speak to that. On regional security expenditures, and after the presentation, that I hope we don't I hope we don't turn this one down. John?
Yes, staff is requesting authorization to spend Homeland Security grant funds in the amount of $282,736 for the items listed in the five categories in your package. Staff recommends approval.
Hey, is there a motion for approval?
There's
a motion, is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded, any discussion? All those in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 4J has been unanimously approved, that's the extent of our action items. Any other business?
Mr. Chairman, I have three quick ones. One is, since you worked so hard and stayed so long, take all this off. There'll be no meeting. As we normally do not have that. Number two, freight study is one that all of you have expressed an interest in, and it's going very well, and it is widely represented. We will plan on giving you a presentation and also probably recommendations in September meeting, because we're trying to not let any grass grow under our feet on this one, because we think it's really important. And finally, at your desk, or at your table, is a announcement Thursday, tomorrow, that we are partnering on transportation programs with history, Missouri History Museum. And this time, our own Alan Dunston will introduce programs, so he hopes to see all of you there at 7 o'clock at History Museum. Topic is fueling for the future economy, and it's something that we think is important. And that's it, sir.
All right, very good. And any other business? If none, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
There's a motion. There's a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
This meeting is adjourned.